From WXXI News, this is Connections, broadcasting with a live audience from the Little Theater in Rochester. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made on April 29th, 1975 in Vietnam. The story you're about to hear is the kind of story that played out for so many families in Saigon, in Vietnam, difficult decisions made with very little time to spare. Now, Ginny Nguyen was born in Saigon. In 1975, she was just a young girl enjoying spending time with her family. And on the night of April 29th, 1975, she was playing games with her cousins, what seemed like perhaps a normal night. But then her father came home and announced, "It's time to leave. We have to pack. We have to leave now." Ginny tried to understand as her father explained that Vietnam had been overrun and the communists were coming. It happened quickly. Within 15 minutes, the family packed just about everything into her father's Jeep, and they were gone. But it was not easy, and you're going to hear that harrowing story. You can imagine the fear that children like Ginny must have experienced at any age. In Vietnam, there was essentially no middle class. You were either poor, or many families poor, but some privileged. And for Ginny, it was privilege. She had no idea what was ahead. Was this really the end of life as she had known it? Where would her family go? What would they find when they got there? On September 17th, PBS and WXXI-TV are the home for a new documentary film series from Ken Burns and Lynn Novick. And as you've been hearing today, it's called The Vietnam War. In our first hour, we explored the experiences and perspectives of both veterans and activists. This hour, a conversation about how families were pulled apart or tried to hold together, some fleeing their homeland. My guests include Ginny Nguyen, a Blue Star mom and a proud one at that, a Rochesterian. She's the vice president of Rochester's Vietnamese community here. And Ginny, it's great to have you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. It's an honor and privilege to be here.
And her mother is here. Luan Nguyen is the wife of Special Force Lieutenant Colonel Doi Nguyen of the South Vietnamese Army, Ginny's mom. And Luan, it's great to have you. Thank you for being here as well.
Thank you very much for coming and sharing with us.
Well,
I'm beyond honored.
Well, we're honored to have you. And Ginny wanted to start with this, and I thought it was a beautiful place to start. You wanted to say, Blue Star Mom, and someone with great appreciation in some ways. I'll clear the stage and let you say what you wanted to say right at the outset. Go ahead.
Thank you again. This is an honor and privilege for me and my mother, and we have a couple of our families here too. Mark Johns, my other half, and Sean McKnight, my mom's friend, is here to attend this event with us. And I would like to take this opportunity, as Evan was saying, you know, to thank WXXI and everyone have trying very hard to show this documentary and to have the community involved and know what the Vietnam War is about. And I'd like to take this opportunity to thank especially all the veterans, our military, especially Chapter 20. Without your sacrifice, without your devotion to the war, my family would not be here. So therefore, I really appreciate that. And from one serviceman family to the other, now my youngest son, he's in the Navy as well. So he would like to give back to this country, the country that we adore and we loved.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that, Jay. I want to remind our listeners of a couple of things. First of all, if you're a guest right here in our studio audience, we've got a couple of microphones, and as we go throughout the hour, we'll be taking some of your comments and questions for our guests. We can also tell you if you want to call the program, you can do that toll-free, 844-295-TALK. It's 844-295-8255. You can email the program, connections@wxxi.org. Please join us on WXXI-TV starting Sunday, September 17th at 8 p.m. That's the first night of 10. So Sunday through Thursday nights, starting the week of September 17th, and then the following week as well, for 10 episodes, 18 hours of the Vietnam War from Ken Burns and Lynn Novick. Also want you to know that on Wednesday, September 13th, 6 to 8 p.m., at the Kate Gleason Auditorium at the Central Library, it's Preserving the Stories of the Vietnam War. It's a preview screening of what's coming up on WXXI-TV, and it's followed by a panel discussion and a community conversation exploring how Americans remember the war and what local groups and individuals are doing to preserve stories from that area. Ginny's going to participate, and the panel will be moderated by our esteemed colleague, Helen B. and Duty Hofer. More information there, wxxi.org/Vietnam. So a lot going on there. I want to start with our guests, and I'm not going to take the whole hour, on April 29th, 1975, and then the hours and days that followed. But I think it is so instructive for those of us who have never had to experience those kinds of hours and moments, just to hear from them. And Jenny, since I kind of told the story from the perspective of a young girl, I'll start with you, but I know you both can share with us. What do you remember most about that night, your father coming home? Tell me about what happened.
It was exciting for a child, and it was scary as well. Like you said, we don't know what, you know, this is going to be the end. Am I going to see my family, my grandmother again, and my cousins, my aunt, and my uncles? And my father said, we have to leave because the communist is coming. And we do not want to live with a communist. So therefore, you know, we fled the country. And my mom and my dad, and, you know, we packed us whatever we could. And we left with my father's ship.
Did you think, that's it? We'll never see this home again?
Well, we thought, yes, that was in our mind. But again, I was so young. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the fun, too. Oh, yeah, you know, we're probably going on a journey or something. You know, we don't know.
Sure.
Because I was born, again, privileged. So even though there's a war going on, my parents managed to shield me, you know, away from that. So,
Luan, for you, your husband comes home. And before this program began today, you and I had a conversation about what that was like for you. And I'd like you, the best you can, tell our listeners and our audience what you recall about that.
Well, when my husband, the wars continued in my country a very long time. So my husband, before a month, like in March, he had opportunity to take my family. We can leave Saigon. We can leave Saigon, and my husband joined us later, but I say no. When we go together. So at the end of the day, when my husband in the headquarters, he sees a helicopter coming down and they pick up on the general and on the big shot. They left.
So he all said, the other military big shots were leaving.
Yeah, they left. They left from headquarters at Tung Sheng Nhuc. And my husband is still, he's there because he feel he have, that he didn't, the people, they need him because he's a little one, but not a general. But he could help a little bit. So at the end, he say, no, everybody run. And his brother said to him, you gotta go. So he called me home. He said, you ready to go? So he come home only like a half hour, so we left. And with me, by that time, I think I leave for just 1 or 2 months. I come home. We never think we got lost. Vietnam got lost by communists.
You thought you would be back home in a month or two?
Yes.
Okay.
Because with that, I think. But my husband didn't say anything.
Okay.
My husband said go, and we left, and. After we go to the Mekong River, Saigon River, we stay there for a night. So after that night, we left 2 o'clock in the morning. So that's why I know that we can never go back, because the old communist attacks in Saigon. I'm business. I don't know much about the military. My husband just told me to go, so I'm go. And all of my kids, my daughter, were very sick, so I don't want to go either.
How old was your daughter who was sick?
He was sick. I think he's about four.
4 years old.
Yeah, 4 years old. He very, very, very sick. He was I took her to the doctor. It was over 100. You know, degree, very sick, very sick.
And you're trying to get out of the country with how many children?
I have five.
Five children. Mm-hmm. And before the program, you told me a little story about linking up boats while you heard sounds overhead. And
yeah.
Set that scene for me.
Yeah, that is when we left from Saigon, because my husband is his command of transportation for like a Navy, but it's not really Navy, because by that time he go on. It's a long story. And we go by the boat, the ship, but the one is for the attack, you know, if you are military, you know, the ship with the open front like that in Normandy, they attacked.
about 25, 30 people. So they, when they, that's always go to the river, not go to the ocean. But we have no choice because everybody left. So we get in there. So we go for, we left at 2 o'clock in the morning on the river, Saigon River. The company, I hear the company shoot the grenade.
The grenades? The
grenade, they come over the boat, over the ship. They blast, I think one is, we left 4 of them. I think one is a song. Because we have to head down, like a duck down. We cannot go.
You could hear those overhead?
Yeah, they go right there.
You saw them too,
yeah.
Jenny?
Mm-hmm, yeah, we saw.
How aware were you as a child what you were actually hearing and seeing at that point?
Well, like I said, you know, my father kept me very isolated. And even though the war, and he just like, don't stand up. You know, we're going to run into some difficulty. And anyway, my father's in charge of escorting all the shipping, you know, in and out from Vietnam for the Mekong River. He's in charge of that. So that's why he had the access to all the boats, you know, the ships mm-hmm. and everything. And that's one of the boats that we escaped with.
Did you know just how serious that situation was as a child? When he says, keep your head down?
Yeah, but, you know, child, you listen to what your father said and you got no clue what's going on. You know, so I go, okay, Dad, you know, and I'm a daddy girl, so whatever my dad said, I do it.
So. Sure, and Luan, how about you? Did you know at that point, because another thing that I'm struck by in our previous conversation was when your husband came home and said, it's time to go, you said, you know, that you trust your husband, that you thought this is the right decision, okay, that you didn't have necessarily that fear in that moment, but when you heard the grenades flying overhead, things started to change for you.
Yeah, I was very scared. No, my husband tell me to go because I'm business, so I don't want to leave my business. And besides, my second youngest daughter was very sick, mm-hmm. so I don't want to go anywhere. I don't know where I'm going. So my husband said, go. If I stay here, they kill me, and whole family will die. So that's why I have to go.
My father.
And I think I'm going back a little while. You know, I never, just like Captain Reinier said, and the man is like, U.S. got lost by the war. No, you just withdraw. You don't get lost. You don't lose the war. You just withdraw. And we don't have a support. That's why we've been winning so far, communists. So at the end, at the end of the day, we don't have a support from U.S. That's why every general, every big governor, they left. So we just like the snake, no hat. We don't, nobody control, and we don't have a support to fight. That's why we have to go. And me, myself, right now, I've been in the U.S. I appreciate very much this country. First of all, I came to this country. I really don't like the U.S. I don't like American, honestly, because I lost a lot. I lost my peace and I lost a lot. I start a new life. And if I stay there, the communist will kill my husband. They took many, a lot of people, general, were suicide. They suicide. And if my husband stays there, they kill him. And all my children cannot have opportunity like in this country. So I appreciate very, very much in U.S. Mm. to make my life and my children. And when we talk about back, I talk too much. I don't know.
No, Luan, you're not talking too much. That's why you're here. That's why you're here. Everyone is, I think, so moved by the story. And I'll ask both you and Ginny, you know, your father had to help decide at that moment, where do we go? If you survive, if you can get out on the water, where do you go?
And yeah, he knew where to go.
He knew where to go.
Yeah, because he know before. But he's a commander.
Yeah.
So the government said, if to take the family, you let your family go first. Go to the warm island.
Guam,
so
yeah.
Yeah, so Guam. But he's still yep. there. He's still over there, over in the Vietnam. I say no. We go together. We don't want to. I don't want to go first.
My father have a saying, my family is one for and all for one. You know, we do everything together, so.
And so, you could have go, he could have decided to try to go to Europe or somewhere else?
He cannot go first with us because he had to be in charge. Oh.
My mom says she's kind of shy, but I think she's going to get used to this now. Anyway, I love her. Anyhow, yes, my father's, when we left the country, we could have gone anywhere because my mother's side, like I said, we were privileged. So we have relatives in Paris.
In Paris,
and,
yeah.
Yes, and we could have gone there. But my father chose America. And he's told my mom, and my mom said, why is America? We go to Paris with my family. And he goes, nope, we go to America. Because that is a land of opportunity, land of freedom, and democracy. We built our life again. Because my father's lieutenant colonel. And when he left Vietnam, he had to take everything off, even his uniform. They take everything. So he's no one. He's nobody now. And he told us, he goes, I'm a general. I fell off the horse, but I did not do it of my own free will. I was forced. But I will start all over again, and I will. And he come here, and he appreciate this country. And because of that determination, he worked real hard. He worked like 4 jobs. And, you know, he never stick his hand out for anything. And he raised, you know, 5 wonderful children, and my mom had to go to work too, to, you know, so that we can make ends meet. And then my dad built our first house 2 years after we came to this country. And now that we, you know, and he put us all to college, and we have engineer, doctors, and pharmacists in my family. And again, the second generation, my son, he wanted to follow my father's footsteps. And he wanted to give back to this country. That's why he joined the Naval Academy. And he graduated last year, and now he's an ensign. So.
Luan, let me ask you, I'm struck by what Captain White said last hour about how when you're serving, you know, you're there to do a job. And in some ways, you're trained to hate. That has to be the mindset to do things that you never would normally be able to do. And that years later, that sort of facade starts to come down when he, you know, meets people and hears more of the stories and his changing views on Vietnam and the Vietnamese people. And I thought that was not only very starkly honest, but beautiful. And you said yourself, when you went to America, when you came to the United States,
yes.
You didn't like it.
No.
How long did it take for that to change for you?
Take about almost a year.
About a year?
Yeah, because my church sponsor for my family, they are very kindly, they help us, and they teach me how to, I never cooked before. Saturday and Sunday, we go to church, and each family, they come to my house, they tell me how to go grocery. I never do anything in my country. I just do business. I have people taking care of that for me. So I don't know. Everything changing. And besides the house, different, and my husband working very hard. My husband working, first he worked in the school to help, looking for a job first. And after that, he applied at the Aaron DeCoy High School for janitor. And he worked in that. And he didn't say anything when he come home. But he working over there one time with a friend of the kid, you know how the little kid, they throw things in the mill, everything on the floor, so you got clean up. One day I didn't understand that, like, well, what job you doing? So I come and look at, so I see he cleaning and my tear coming down.
You all have to make changes.
He do everything for my family. He work in a janitor, at the Iron Goy High School, and he got a job at Kodak. After that, and he worked, I take 8 hour from job at Kodak, and he worked at school full time the night too. He go home, he sleep only like a half an hour. He go home and not to sleep, the cow like that, he lie down like that, that's it. And in about 6 months, the government said, you cannot work two full jobs, you have to work one full job and one part-time. So, and he talked to me, so he keep the Kodak full job and he work part-time after school. But Saturday and Sunday, me and him, we go to clean out people in house, like yard. If they need to clean up, we do. He work, and he work until he have a stroke, and he passed away.
Amazing, amazing man.
And he worked all his life until he died. You were the clothes that plant at the plant at Emerald. So he doesn't work. He take retirement. Mm-hmm. So he worked at school, but he very good. He very hard worker. He clean very well. He do very good job. So the school say, I take you back with full time job. So he's so happy to tell me. But the school start until September. So he been sick in June. He have a stroke, and that's it. And he been sick like 11 years, and he passed away 6 years from now.
Well, Luana, I admire not only you for telling the story, but you see the emotion in the audience here. Ginny, as the vice president of the Rochester Vietnamese community, how many stories like this do you hear from other families here in the greater Rochester area? Probably across the country. I imagine there are a lot of stories.
Yes. That's the reason why I want to be an advocate. My family is just one story. There are the many, many Vietnamese people that appreciate the American, that you open your arms and your heart out to us. And for those veterans, and you know, don't think that your sacrifice is not being well deserved. You are being very respectful. And also we cherished it and we appreciate it. And without your sacrifice, none of us would be here. We don't have this opportunity sitting up here with you and to tell you our story and our children's too, now that we have the next generation. You know, my family, thank you for your dedication, for your sacrifice, and everything you have done for this country. I know war is terrible because I'm now as a mom, a Blue Star mom, have a son that served in the Army. I know how it feels to have your children go to a foreign country and try to defend the democracy, but it needs to be defend democracy because you do not want to have our country surrounded by communists or anything that does not believe in our values.
We got to take our only break of the hour, and I'll tell our audience right here as we continue broadcasting live from the Little Theater with the audience here. If you want to join us in the conversation, share your thoughts. We got microphones on both sides here. If you want to join us here, you can call the program 844-295-TALK. That's toll free, 844-295-8255, or email the program connections@wxxi.org. Coming up, you're going to hear what the co-director, Lynn Novick, working with Ken Burns, she joined this program a few weeks ago. She told us about some of what struck her about going back to Vietnam multiple times for creating this documentary that premieres on WXXI-TV and PBS on Sunday, September 17th. They went three different times. She has some thoughts to share on that. We'll hear that. We'll hear from our guests on that. And we'll ask them about the lessons, because so much of what we're talking about today and what Ken Burns and Lynn Novick wanted to do was allow us to now, with the distance and time of a generation, look back at this war and say, what are the lessons here? What is the most important idea that we can carry forward with us? And we'll ask our guests about that as well. So Ginny Nguyen and Luan Nguyen telling their remarkable story here, and we'll come right back with Connections at the Little Theater. I'm Evan Dawson. Friday on The Next Connections, conservative columnist Matt Lewis wrote a piece this week wondering why so many libertarians find the alt-right's message compelling. He says there's an uncomfortable link between many leaders in the alt-right and white nationalism and libertarianism. And he wonders why that is. Well, we'll talk to local libertarian leaders about that. It's all coming up Friday on Connections. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Before we hear from our guests, as I mentioned, I had a chance to talk to Lynn Novick, who is the co-director of the Vietnam War. And here's what she had to say about going back to Vietnam and sort of assessing from her perspective over the last 10 years. This has really been a 10-year project, putting this documentary series together. Her experiences there. Let's listen.
I made three trips to Vietnam. I'm about to go back again. And the thing, it is sort of striking that you just do not see evidence of the war around you. And when you think about the scale of devastation that happened there, it's remarkable how much has been sort of rebuilt or built over. But it's an incredibly resilient society. The people are hardworking and optimistic and forward-looking, and yet they're not unaffected by what happened there. So you sort of have to ask the right questions, and once you scratch the surface, there's a lot to be said and to be learned.
Let me ask our guests, and I'll start with Ginny. Lynn Novick says that she doesn't see outward signs of war a generation later. She's not really seeing that. But your family hasn't spent much time back in Vietnam, is that correct?
No.
Okay.
No, we don't.
So does that surprise you at all to hear her say, you know, when she's there now, what
well,
she sees?
Well, like I said, people, Vietnam right now, even though they say that they're not, but they are communist, and they try to make the country welcome to all foreigners because that's how they make their money. You know, they want to be like America, but they can never be like America. There's only one America in my heart. And truly, you know, because they don't live by our philosophy, they don't live by our beliefs. So, therefore, only America is America
okay.
for us.
Luan, you told me that you have not been back and you would be fearful. Over the years, you felt fearful about going back. Is that right?
No, I don't want to go back because, first of all, it's this communist. I don't like communist at all. And you don't know how communist they talk. They talk one way, but the other, they do the other way. And I don't trust them. I don't like it. And beside my family in Vietnam, they all die. I'm old too. So I have no people to go back to visit.
And we're going to go to your questions in the audience in a second, but let me just close the loop on that. Luan, what do you hope for Vietnam for the future? Do you have hope that that country will eventually see the kind of freedom that you feel here?
Yes, I hope. I wish and pray too for the in the Vietnam, you know, the people, the civilian people have to try to be, because the communist, when is the communist control you, you can never get out of that because they take very seriously, like even your children, they watching the parent too, and they report to the government. So it's really hard, but I wish if the Vietnam, we can, first of all, all the Vietnamese, we are in U.S., we together and we connect in Vietnamese people over there together, so we might be, some have a chance to take back then our freedom.
Okay. Yes. Ginny, what do you hope for Vietnam?
Well, like I said, I am, you know, reiterating what my mom said, and I'm supporting that. We would all love Vietnam to be democracy, you know, like this country. But again, if the communists, you know, right now controlling it, it's not going to happening. So we're happy here and we're content over here. And this is, you know, our country. And so I'm teaching my children the same way. And my mom teaching, you know, my mom and dad teaching me to love this country and to take care of her and cherish her and do the best you can as a citizen to help it out.
Let me go to some of our audience members in studio. James, go ahead, James.
Thank you, Kevin. Am I on?
Yeah. You're on. Go ahead, sir.
First off, a little background. I'm the Reverend James Schwartz, and I'm also teach U.S. history at SUNY Geneseo. The title of this program, The Vietnam War, is a little bit misleading. Most historians, this is the Second Indochina War. And when I was in Vietnam a few years ago, it's very clear that to them, this is the American War. And I think that's a very important distinction. In fact, I do have to disagree with Ms. Novak's remark that you just played. When I was in Vietnam a few years ago, the devastation is very visible. In fact, there's still, unfortunately, still undetected landmines and munitions, but there's also the devastation of a lot of the land, the historical buildings of Vietnam, which will never be recovered. So the scars are there. And the deforestation from Agent Orange is still a major problem in parts of Vietnam. So the scars are there, and they're very visible if you're looking for them. Point I wanted to come to, though, was the propaganda. As a historian, I'm very concerned about how, based on Burns and Novak's New York Times article, op-ed article, I'm very concerned about the way that they are helping to propagandize some of the myths and lies of our involvement and the imbalance. All I've heard today is the talk of the American losses, but there were over 3 million Vietnamese lost in this immoral war. I have to hold some responsibility. I didn't go to Vietnam. I was in the Second War in 1965. Most people forget we invaded the Dominican Republic and overthrew their government. I was in that expedition. And then instead of going to Vietnam, the Navy sent me to Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute as a naval ROTC instructor. And I spent 3 years propagandizing young men to prepare them for war. And it wasn't until back in college that Kent State, I was president of the Veterans Club at Geneseo, and Kent State was the final straw for most of us veterans, that we realized this is wrong. America's being torn apart by a war on the other side of the world that we have no right involved in. And in that case, you know, with the we're worried about the sanitization of our history. And I think that's what we heard in the earlier hours. And stories like the mother and daughter here are so important for us to hear how they were affected by this war, how it ripped their family apart, because they're just a microcosm of all the millions of people in Vietnam who were affected one way or another. And I'd like to hear more stories such as this coming out. The U.S. government is propagandizing this war with a website sponsored by the Department of Defense that Barack Obama, President Obama, originally authorized. I'd like to point out that Veterans for Peace has a counter website called the Vietnam Full Disclosure. And I think that what I saw in the previews of this film and the op-ed part that concerns me is, and I'd like it addressed.
Yeah, James, I need you to kind of, because we've got to get to other people here too.
Yeah, the concept, some of the ideas in this film are a little bit misguided. And is it truly a balance? Do we really represent the true history? And that, I think, is one of the questions we have to concern ourselves with, is evaluating the actual true history of Vietnam. I don't think it can be done in 18 hours.
Okay. I appreciate that. And I think Ken Burns and Lynn Novick would, I'm sure they would dissent with the idea that it's not sort of a full or holistic or balanced picture. But I understand the point that James is raising, that we talk a lot about American losses. We talk less about sometimes Vietnamese losses. Sometimes that's our tendency in discussing wars, is to be a little myopic in that way. Let me ask our guests on stage here. How do you feel about that? Losses in Vietnam, about the people who died, the families who had many losses. Are those stories, do we lose those stories, Ginny, or how do you feel about that?
Well, like I said, in any war, there are always casualty. And then, but what is the purpose of it? Why do we go to war? We want to preserve democracy and freedom. And people who do not live under a communist regime, you don't understand how it feels. And that's why it's important. We are the history. The men and women in the military are the history. They come back, they tell us how they feel and what they've done for their country, and they should be rewarded and they should be appreciative for it. And same way with the Vietnamese people. The one, and of course I'm being a little biased here, for the South Vietnamese Army, yeah, we lost a lot of our troops, you know, families been torn apart and everything. But because we believe in democracy and freedom, we want to preserve it, and that's why we went to war against the communists. Unfortunately, you know, we walk away. The American walk away, and we didn't have the support, so we run with the American. The war is, you know, we don't think we lose the war, and this is a history that you are doing WXXIs and Ken Burns, you know, try to preserve, and I respect that.
I would just say, James, again, I appreciate the comment, and we'll see. I mean, I hope we can all take in Ken Burns and Lynn Novick's documentary and then make some assessment on whether it was holistic. Thank you. On this mic, we've got Bob over here. Go ahead, Bob.
Yes. I'd like to go back to the comment and question that, Evan, that you had for Captain White in the first section, talking about hatred and talking about the need for time for reflection. To put it all together, because it really weaves together the story that Luan and Jenny are telling. I think, just to keep it pretty simple, I'm an Army veteran, drafted in 1968. I was in Vietnam 1969 to 1970, and I came back in 1970, and entered the civilian life and. One of the things that in 1999, I was asked to speak at a new millennium high school assembly because they had a Korean War veteran, World War II veteran, and they couldn't find a Vietnam veteran. And someone approached me and asked me if I would speak. And I said, yeah, I'll do it. And I took a long time preparing and trying to put together what I was going to say to 400 students, about six of which responded to my question and said they knew someone who served in Vietnam or a relative. There were very few people that understood it in that high school class. And the thing that really, really touched me in my research, and it you touched my heart, Jenny and Luan, when you talked about freedom and the communists and so on. But what really struck me, it was a U.S. News and World Report magazine article, and it showed a North Vietnamese woman who was holding a picture of her son, who died probably in South Vietnam or in Cambodia. He was a North Vietnamese Army soldier. And I thought, I don't think they have a memorial there for them. I fought the North Vietnamese Army, and they didn't recover their dead. So they don't have remnants. All she had was that picture. And what struck me was her words. She said, I'm so proud of my son because he was fighting for freedom. And I think that the point that really, really struck home, and when you said freedom and democracy, Jenny, there's a misunderstanding. It's a miscommunication. I was indoctrinated with hate towards the Vietnamese, the North Vietnamese and the Viet Cong in the military. As Captain White said, you had to do it to perform your mission. It was wrong. But what we really, really were doing was we were following the leadership of misguided politicians who didn't communicate with other leaders of countries we were in conflict with. And I commend you for being here. It took me a long time to get rid of that hatred, but it was so freeing when you finally get rid of it, and you let it go. And I thank you for your presence here today. You added a great dimension to it.
And Bob, let me just ask you one quick follow-up then. Does the question that was raised toward the end of the first hour matter to you? And is it an important one as we talk about lessons? Or do we get hung up on it? Did we lose the war? Do we have to say that? Does that matter?
I agree with both. And there are times that I think we lost the war. I don't know we could have won it. There are other times I say, yeah, we just pulled back. You know, we didn't get the support for it. I don't know the answer to that question, really, Evan. It kind of goes back and forth.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob. I appreciate that. Jenny, how do you feel about some of the complexity of what he's expressing there? Go ahead.
Well, first of all, Bob, I would like to thank you for your service. You know, deeply appreciative. And I understand, yes, freedom could be miscommunicated, you know, if you don't say it correctly. But to me, freedom, what it does, like does with democracy, like America, like the South Vietnamese, we want every man and woman to live in harmony and peace. And then you have, if you're willing to work hard, try to do the best you can, then you will have the reward and you will earn your access to with your family and everything, you know, to help yourself and your family in the future. But in the communist rules, there's no of that happening. They will not let you do the way you want. You can fight all your life and everything, like my mom said, you know, they have their children watch over you. And at nighttime, they will tap on your shoulder if they think you do something wrong and you never come back to your family again. And what kind of freedom? They call themselves freedom fighter or their freedom, but that's not freedom. Freedom is when you let someone have an opportunity to work hard to earn their way through the society and to become success. And that wealth share among others. To me, that's freedom. And that's what the South Vietnamese people, and that's what this country is believing. And that's why we're here.
We're going to spend the rest of the hour with some of our audience members continuing with the conversation. I want to remind our audience that we're broadcasting from the Little Theater. Evan Dawson with Connections, and you're hearing Jenny Nguyen, who is she's a Rochesterian. She's a Blue Star mom. She's vice president of Rochester's Vietnamese community. And she came to this country when her family fled Vietnam when they feared communist rule in 1975. Her mother is Luan Nguyen, who is the wife of Special Force Lieutenant Colonel Doi Nguyen, and telling their story. So Luan and Jenny telling their story here. And September 17th at 8 p.m. is the launch of 10 nights and 18 hours of the Vietnam War on PBS and WXXI-TV. Before I forget to tell you, I want to tell you that support for today's event is brought to you in part by Cobblestone Capital Advisors and Ferris Hills at Westlake. Our thanks to them. Let's go back to our audience members, and Dee is next up. Go ahead, Dee.
Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay. This is short and sweet. I'm very glad that you're here, because I just want to make a comment that, one, when I was in college, I was a war protester, and I was very noisy. And two, a few years ago, my husband and I got to go on a tour of Vietnam, and we had great trepidation. We thought, oh my God, they're gonna hate us. You know, we really did a lot of damage there. I want you to know that we were welcomed with open arms, and it wasn't just because we were tourists, because we went off on our own some, and everybody there was kind. We were invited into homes. We went to a home of a Viet Cong general who admitted he wasn't too happy with what had happened. And we had a young man on our tour who had been a very young captain at the beginning of, well, not at the beginning, but during the time our forces were there. And he was mortified by how some of the people in your country were treated. And it's a beautiful country, and I appreciate the hospitality that they gave me, an ugly American. That's it.
Thank you, Dee. Some thoughts, Jenny, Luan?
First of all, I don't think that you are ugly. I think that we are, you know, we would be honored to have people like you, but I cannot speak for them. Like I said, I'm an American citizen. We came here as a refugee, and this is my country. And for those people that live, you know, there, they probably have a taste of what the communists like, and now they're trying to be like us, you know, to live like democracy in harmony. But it just probably, it's a tourist, you know, attraction, put it that way. So.
Okay. We'll go back to our audience members. On Twitter, Carrie says, the President of the United States should be listening to the show today. Evan, thank you for this. I don't think he is. I don't have evidence. But she tagged him on Twitter, so it is possible that it will be on the president's radar. I will also mention that a couple of people are commenting that schools today don't teach very long lessons on Vietnam. And it is probably worth its own discussion on a separate date, how we teach war and how complex and difficult it must be. I mean, you can't spend all year on one subject, but how is Vietnam taught? I'm very interested in that. Educators in the audience haven't gone back to school yet. Listeners, if you're in teaching, I'd love to hear from you. Send me a note to edawson@wxxi.org. How do you teach Vietnam? I would love to know how it's being addressed in schools today. Over here, this is Lynn. Go ahead, Lynn.
Hi, I'm an educator, actually, and I teach English to students who are immigrants and refugees. And I was just wondering, because I only get a limited time to like ask people about their lives sometimes. But there's a new wave of Vietnamese immigrants coming into this country. And I've noticed when I ask like the parents where they're from, they very proudly say, I'm from Saigon. And I'll kind of say, well, isn't it Ho Chi Minh City? And they'll go, same, same. But I see that they're very forcefully saying Saigon and being very proud of it if they are from Saigon. And I've also had kids, if they're doing country reports, they don't want the red flag with the star. Mm-hmm. They're demanding the yellow flag with the red stripes. And they want to teach the other kids about their South Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And they want to say, I'm from South Vietnam. Some teachers will accept that. Some teachers say, no, no, if you're doing your country, you have to do the flag. But I don't get to talk to the parents very often about how they actually feel. I've had some students tell me how they were limited in living under communism, and that was part of the reason that their families have come here. At the same time, I saw a lot of pride when President Obama went over to Vietnam, and he had his picture taken with the president of Vietnam, and they loved the pictures of him eating Vietnamese food with the food guy from CNN. But as the president of the Vietnamese society in Rochester, how are these new immigrants, are they connecting with you, and how are they expressing their experiences in Vietnam?
Okay, thank you, Lynn.
Oh, yes, you're right. We refuse to say Ho Chi Minh. We say Saigon, and we're very proud to say, you know, we was from Saigon. And when the 1975 immigrants, a refugee, I should say, we call ourselves refugee. We don't call ourselves immigrants. We understand. We know how the war have done to us and, you know, have brought us away from the Vietnam, but it has brought us a new opportunity here. And so, you know, we all cherish it. And when we have a chance together, you know, we embrace it. We always talk about good thing about this country. We don't talk about, you know, Vietnam at all. So, you know, it's like everything else. When there are bad things, there's always a light behind that tunnel that people say. And sometimes when you see, you know, the opportunity under the eyes of the refugees, then you understand better. Then you know how it feels. And, you know,
that was. Do you have much contact with the new immigrants? Because they are immigrants now.
Well, yeah, they immigrants because they came at a different time than we are.
Right.
You know, so, but there are others, you know, program and things like that here for them. Oh. And, yeah, so that would help them as well.
Thanks very much, Lynn. I appreciate that. Bob on this mic. Go ahead, Bob.
Part of the rationale for the Vietnam War was the expanding communist influence coming down from China. Can you say something about the historic relationship between Vietnam and China and whether the United States inadvertently brought them closer together by participating in that war? And broad more generally, are there aspects of the dynamics of Indochina and Vietnam that we should understand that we are very much lacking in, things that we just miss?
Okay, thank you, Bob. Jenny, how do you feel about that?
Well, that's why, because China is communist and they influence the North and they try to invade the South. We were dominated by the French, you know, 400 years. So therefore, we enjoy our democracy and our European culture style. So, but the communist rule is, you know, they said they wanted freedom. They wanted to conquer all Vietnam because the North, right, Mom? They are the soil and everything else that they have up there is not as prosperity as the in the South. So they wanted to conquer and to get the lands and everything else. So it's more than just politics. It's more than greed. Because when they came in, from what I've been told, my grandmother passed away now. They came in and they took everything that she owned because she's a very wealthy, you know, woman too. And they put her in jail for a month and then she died because they said that she was evil because she's so rich. How could anybody, you know, be so rich? She worked hard all her life. That's why she's rich. And then the communists, you know, from China, they supported the North Vietnam. And that's why when the American left, you guys, you know, left. And that's how we, you know, we have to run too because we didn't have any support.
We could probably talk all day. And I know that our audience appreciates it here. How about a hand for Ginny and Luan Nguyen sharing their experience?
Thank you.
Luan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It has been wonderful having both of you, Ginny and Luan, sharing their experiences. A wonderful first hour panel. We've had tremendous support from all across WXXI. You hear my voice, but there's so many more people behind it, and I can't thank them all. But our thanks to everyone involved with this. Hope you join WXXI TV and PBS Sunday, September 17th, for the launch of Ken Burns and Lynn Novick's The Vietnam War. Set it up for 8 p.m. on your DVR or join us then. And thanks so much. Have a great afternoon. Talk to you Friday on member-supported public radio.